Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. We're talking about the flames that are spreading throughout the Muslim world in the wake of a film attacking Islam and the Prophet and indeed the Muslims in the most reprehensible, disgusting terms. Who made this film? And why did Mrs. Clinton say, if she said, as a caller earlier did, that the United States would never stop anyone from expressing themselves freely, which of course is a bit of a laugh. In any case, you have to laugh because otherwise you'd cry. We're talking also about torture and hypocrisy in Bahrain, and we're talking about the Bush and Blair Corporation and its latest crime against the Palestinian people, the collaboration with Mark Dregev, the propagandist of the worst dregs of Israeli society, who was interviewed on the BBC, fed a line which turned out to be a lie and which he elaborated at length upon when he should have been forced to answer for the cruel murder of one of America's heroes, Rachel Corrie. So, I've got a call from Iran. I hope he's still on the line. Saeed Ali, are you there, Saeed?
Yes, I am. I am, George.
Go ahead.
What I wanted to say is that although Clinton said that the film is disgusting, but they will never stop Americans from expressing their views, and that's hypocrisy, because if someone says anything against Israel, they would accuse that person of being anti-Semitic, and they would suffocate any voice against their allies. So what she was trying to say is first of all, alienate the American administration from the repercussion of the movie to remain safe, but at the same time suggesting that the movie is just another taste that we will
another
never
sign of
from,
another sign of freedom, Saeed. Well, look, thanks very much for that call all the way from Iran. Let's go to Sohail in London on the very same subject, the film. Sohail, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Mr. George, nice speaking to you back.
Go ahead, sir.
Mr. George, one thing I want to ask. I want to know what caused the breaking point between Mr. Christopher Stevens, the American ambassador, and the people of Benghazi, because they were the heart and they were the beginners of the revolution in Benghazi, and he was there in Benghazi.
He was paying for it.
You see?
He was paying for it. He was calling in the bombers.
So I thought they were friends. So what caused the breaking point? Is there a shift of power?
Well, I'll tell you what I think. You know, some people didn't read Frankenstein, the great novel by Mary Shelley, right to the end. You make a Frankenstein monster, but by the time you've made it as a monster, it's out of your control. That's why it's called a monster. And the United States, from the 1980s until now, from time to time, in one place or another, has been constructing this Frankenstein monster of rampant fanatic extremism to fight against regimes which they didn't like. My enemy's enemy is my friend, is the principle on which they proceeded. But your enemy's enemy isn't always your friend. Sometimes your enemy's enemy is worse than your enemy. And I think that that is a chicken that is coming home to roost and will continue to do so. The reverberations from US, UK support of fanaticism in Libya and Syria will reverberate for a very long time, just as our support for fanaticism in Afghanistan in the 1980s continues to do. I'm only saying, Mohammed's in London, wants to talk about the film. Mohammed, welcome.
Hi there. Hi, George. How are you?
We're very good. Nice to hear from you. Go on.
Okay. It's actually, every time you talk about freedom of speech, about incidents like that, you hear the defense coming straight away into your face saying it's freedom of speech. Okay. So basically, I just wanted to remind those people, and I hope you can support them in that as well, is the fact that we have double standards, don't we? As you mentioned rightly earlier, there's so many people in jail here in the UK and in the United States of America for people who have been put in jail for the word is called between brackets, inciting hatred.
Or glorifying terrorism.
Exactly.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so it's the same meaning. Isn't that the same thing that is happening now? This guy is inciting hatred. So why is
it that... Well, Muhammad, nobody has an unlimited right to freedom of speech. If I stood up, God forbid, in a darkened cinema and shouted, fire, and people were injured or even killed in the rush to get out of the cinema, I would not be exercising freedom of speech. I would be a direct cause of other people's harm. Nobody has the right to insult other people's religions because it will cause trouble. It will cause hurt and harm to the society as a whole. And the law is supposed to be about the creation of a structure, a fabric in which we can live together as a society. Now, I don't believe that the fascists of the EDL have the right to put on Nazi uniforms and goose step through Golders Green, denying the Holocaust, because that will hurt and harm the feelings of the people whose families were killed in the Holocaust. Neither can I accept the EDL marching through Muslim areas in Britain, insulting and inciting harm and hatred against Muslims. Neither can I accept the Gutter Sun lying about the people of Liverpool, as was exposed in fantastic detail in the Hillsborough report published just this day here in England. So nobody has the right, unlimited right, of freedom of speech. We have no right to libel people. We have no right to defame people. We have no right to write lies about people that will cross the line in legal terms into libel and defamation. So there are many restrictions on freedom of speech, even in this country and even in the United States of America. Mohammed in London, thanks for the call. Let's go back to Iran, talk to Ahmed Salehi about that film. Ahmed, welcome to the show. Ahmed, you're on the air.
Hello, hello, can you hear me, George?
Very loud and clear, you're on the air, go ahead.
Thank you. If you give me a couple of minutes,
I can only give you 1 minute, so get ahead quickly.
A couple of comments, okay, very quickly. The main point is that all of the freedom of speech gestures cannot deviate us from detecting the main background players of these horrifying acts, which are actually as the leader of the Islamic Republic today mentioned in the message of the international Zionism. But the point, another point, is that if the Western government didn't use to support such similar actions in the past, from Salman Rushdie to the recent Danish cartoonist or the American priest who insulted the Holy Book, then we would not be witnessing such action today. But all in all, it is very important that today the role of the Muslim community and the roles of the Muslim government are very important. Because I prefer preventing rather such outrages and radical actions and more focus on legal and systematic measures to prevent these actions in the future, which these actions should be taken by the governments of the Muslims, of the Muslim world today.
Well, I agree with that. Ahmed, thanks very much. I've got another call from Iran. That's why I'm hurrying you on. Rafi is in Iran, wants to talk about the same subject. Rafi, welcome.
Hello.
Yes, go on, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Galloway.
Rafi, nice to hear from you. Go ahead.
Okay, then. I want to know, how come there is about 50, 60 million Jews all around the world?
There is what?
And about 50, 60 million Jews around the world.
No, I think there's only about 12 or 13 million Jews in the world, but go on.
I want if somebody from any religion, from any country in Europe or United States talk about Holocaust or deny the Holocaust, they take him and put him in jail and they are not having a freedom of speech. And
yeah, quite right. I'm in favor. I'm in favor of putting people in jail who deny the Holocaust, and I'm in favor of putting in jail those who create the kind of scenes that we've been enduring over the last couple of days by making films which pour hatred and incite hatred against Muslims. Me, I protect all the monotheistic religions. So should you, Rafi. You should know that in Iran. Let's go to the comment wall and see where the next couple of emails have come from. This one is from Fatima in Iran. I think this shameful movie, which has caused deep pain, is part of the plan to deviate Islamic awakening in the Middle East and north of Africa from its goals to save time for the Zionist regime and bully powers to find a way to restore its position in the region. But the awakening has happened, and such ridiculous actions and movies cannot stop it. Thanks. Amin, Fatima. Very well said. Let's take a second one. This one is from where? London, Vida. The anger about the anti-Islam movie is understandable. However, it doesn't justify any sort of violence. One American died and all Muslims of this world are being judged. Again, another free ticket for the Western media and Islam haters to condemn us all as barbarians. As you mentioned Frankenstein, I believe that the media is turning Muslims into monsters. Foreign policies do, and lack of education plays a major role. Thanks very much for that. I've got to go all the way to Nairobi for my next caller. It's Eli to talk about the film. Eli.
Yes.
Go ahead,
Mr.
sir.
George, how are you?
Go ahead. I'm well. You're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. George, how are you? I want to talk about the movies.
Yeah.
And the rise of the Muslim against the Zionists.
Go ahead.
All right. Something for sure, me, I don't understand why the Muslim world are rising and demonstrating movies who was published, because something for sure, we have seen the movies of man of God like Moses. We have seen the movies of Jesus Christ. We have seen the movies of Abraham, who is the father of the whole nation. And if they publish the movies for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is not something for the Muslim nation to rise and say that is the insult. I don't see that.
But well, you've obviously not seen the film. If you'd seen the film, you wouldn't be saying what you're saying. The film is an obscenity.
Exactly.
The film is a triple X-rated obscenity. It's not about the Prophet Muhammad. It's against the Prophet Muhammad. It insults, distorts, traduces, and in the most incendiary way, the Prophet, the religion, and its followers. And the Muslims have every right to rise up against it. And I'm saying that the only reason why these protests have turned as ugly as they have is because the Muslims are burning with anger and rage against the role that America and Britain and Israel are playing in the Muslim world. To me, that's not rocket science. And I'm sure that in the State Department, where the hapless ambassador emanated from, they already worked that out long ago, that America's role in the Muslim world and in support of Israel is stoking up big fires to come against American interests in the Muslim area. Eli in Nairobi, thanks very much for that call. We're having some hiccups, I think, with the phone system this evening, so I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to talk about situation in Bahrain. I'm talking about the situation at the BBC, which has become a kind of mouthpiece for the worst dregs of Israeli society, in particular Mark Dregev, the propagandist for those worst elements. And of course, we're talking about this film, as is Hussein in London. He wants to talk about that too. Hussein, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Welcome. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, George. This is Hussein from Brookline.
Salaam alaikum. Very nice to hear your voice.
Salaam alaikum.
Go ahead, sir.
Well done for this show. Well done for this show. I salute you.
Thank you,
for
brother. Thank you, brother. Long time no see.
Because,
I'll be down for a curry in Brick Lane to see you.
For Muslim.
Thank you, brother.
I continue this one. That will be every everything for us. You are the man who had done something for the Islami Muslim community. Thank you.
Salaamu Alaikum. Azmal Hussain, a remarkable man and a good friend of mine, and a restaurateur, I better not name the restaurant in Brick Lane. How very nice to hear from him. Well, this is Comment. It is the big conversation. It is the great debate. And I apologize to those of you who are trying desperately to get through to the show. We're having some telephone difficulties today, but we have managed to take a call from Malawi, the second of the evening, and it's on the issue of the film. And so far as I can see on the screen, his or her name is Gift. Let's hear from Malawi. Go ahead, please.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead, sir.
I can say it's a disappointing because it's an insult to them because, like what Quinton was saying, that I know they have the right to show the movie. But in my understanding, I think that's not the right because, like, they are showing what is not true.
No, if you showed a movie in America about one of the world's most remarkable leaders, Syed Hassan Nasrallah, you'd be locked up. So it's just not true what Mrs. Clinton said. If I went to America now and hailed in the way I've just done the leader of Hezbollah, Syed Hassan Nasrallah, I'd be locked up. I'd certainly be excluded from the United States forevermore. So it's just a lie. It's just a lie that they can't stop this movie on the grounds of freedom of speech. It's just a lie.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it's a lie and it's an insult.
Mm. You're right.
Yeah, so it's unacceptable. It's like you're telling people lies. That's not freedom of speech.
No, you're absolutely right. We're having a little difficulty with that line. My friend in Malawi, second call from Malawi, even though we confused it with Mali earlier, we are getting calls from the Cameroon and elsewhere around Africa. We really are beginning to make an impact in many parts of the world. That's, of course, why Ofcom put us off the Sky platform here in Britain, because we were building such a huge audience here, which was beginning to be extremely influential. That's coming back up again as people are watching Press TV on all sorts of different platforms. And if you want to know what satellites you can use to watch Press TV, then go to the Press TV website, which is www.presstv.ir. Now, I was saying earlier about Mark Dregev. I don't know if you saw the interview in question. The BBC have acknowledged their fault and have, in a way, apologised for it. Martha Kearney, interviewing Mark Dregev, the propagandist of Netanyahu, said in the instance of the murder of Rachel Corrie, a subject of very, very great importance in the United States and in Britain and around the world, one of the most famous martyrs of the whole Palestinian conflict, a young, brave American woman who stood and gave her life in front of the bulldozers that were knocking down Palestinian homes and leaving the families bereft and amongst the rubble. She said, well, I know Rachel Corrie wasn't the only casualty that day. Israeli soldiers died too. This was a lie. No Israeli soldier died too that day. But 27 Palestinians were killed that week by Israeli soldiers. And Regev, of course, picked up the lie and ran with it. He said, yes, Israeli soldiers were killed that day. And they're under attack always. And it's an area of intense terrorist activity and so on. It was an absolutely shameful blunder at best and crime at worst, and yet no heads have rolled for it. There will be no broadcast apology for it. There will be no Ofcom inquiry into it. And while I'm on that subject, how come I keep seeing on Sky and the BBC interviews with captive Syrian soldiers being interrogated by journalists from Sky and the BBC under duress with armed men all around them? And whose lives depend upon, lives I mean, not liberty, but lives depend upon the answers that they give Sky and the BBC. How come I keep seeing that? How come Ofcom isn't stopping that? Where's the inquiry into that? I think that's something I should take up, don't you? Let me go to the comment wall whilst we're having these problems with the phone, and let's see how the emails are still coming in. This one's from Nigeria. Mustafa, the Americans which were unfortunately killed in the same way Gaddafi was killed, which was facilitated by America. Well, I regret the death of the American ambassador in Libya. I'm against killing other countries' envoys, whatever those countries do, because the only way to end the killing is to talk, and the only way to talk is through envoys, and the only way to do that is by maintaining embassies in countries around the world, particularly when there is a dispute, when there is a conflict. So I'm against what happened to the American embassy. But there's a good deal of hypocrisy in the crocodile tears which are being spilled by the United States, Clinton and Obama, because they themselves, as the texter or emailer just pointed out, made possible the brutal sodomy and murder of the Libyan dictator Gaddafi, the murder of his children, and the incarceration, apparently without end and without trial, of his surviving children. And, of course, this was done by the very same people who killed the American ambassador in Benghazi. I mean, it's not rocket science. I mean, it is Frankenstein. You say, I hate Gaddafi, so I'm going to build up and make more powerful and more rich the same fanatic elements which kill our own ambassador just a couple of months later. And that's what they did in Libya. It's what they did in Afghanistan. And it's what they're doing in Syria. Flickers of Al-Qaeda, you'll recall, the CIA or the Leon Panetta made clear. There are flickers of Al-Qaeda in the Syrian opposition, he said. But of course, it's not flickers. It's flames, and those flames are burning United States interests and United States facilities in the Muslim region. And I go back to the point that I've been making for most of the night. It's not really about a film. The film is disgusting, nasty, but the Prophet will not be damaged by that film. Islam will not be damaged. In fact, Islam is being strengthened by the tremendous outpouring of unity that's taking place across the Muslim world. If the film was in isolation, then this trouble would not be occurring. It's because the film is the last straw in a pile, a mountain of crimes, which America is deeply involved in against the Muslims, against the Islamic world, just as in previous decades they were against the people of Indochina and the Korean Peninsula and many, many other places. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show. Hope you found it illuminating and enlightening. If you have, God willing, I'll be back next week. Same time, same place.
Hello, just comment your name and location with that number. And just make sure your television volume is set to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You'll be directly put through this, your phone number, and then we'll be